look at John Adams. He represented people who committed the Boston Massacre.
All right, whoa. What do you know about the Boston Massacre?
I know a lot about it. I know that these people shot on people.
All right, I want to educate you about the Boston Massacre. He didn't represent people at the Boston Massacre. He represented a person. And I'm going to use the benefit of your call to explain something, because my fear is that these things get used to distort current events. And one of the places you may want to go to for a thumbnail sketch, and these issues are always fascinating to me, we will link to a marklevinshow.com, law.umkc.edu. And as they succinctly spell out there, the Boston Massacre. Two privates in the British 29th Regiment of Worcestershire, named Hugh White, and Hugh Montgomery, played central roles in the tragic events on the night of March 5, 1770. And this has been cause for confusion. In one account of the Boston Massacre, Harry Hansen's The Boston Massacre, the two Hughes become one. Now, Hugh White, on March 5, 1770, he served as sentry on King Street. Sometime after 8 o'clock, White entered into an exchange with a wig maker's apprentice, Edward Garrick, who was demanding payment from a British officer. The exchange escalated into violence as White struck Garrick with his musket, knocking him to the ground. Regardless of which version of the story is more accurate, it is undisputed that within minutes an unruly crowd of young men surrounded Montgomery and began hurling insults such as bloody lobster back at him. When the crowd swelled and he began being pelted with pieces of ice, Montgomery hurried to the custom house, banged the door and shouted, "Turn out, main guard." The 8-man guard finally emerged and marched to his rescue through a swelling crowd. Now Hugh Montgomery, the other Hugh, Private Hugh Montgomery, was one of the 8 soldiers in the main guard command by Captain Preston. They were commanded by Captain Preston. Remember that. To march to the custom house and attempt to save Hugh White. If they're making their way to White, Montgomery and other soldiers found themselves being surrounded by the mob. They formed a sort of semicircle. Soon after confusion, there were softballs, ice chunks, coal rained down on the British soldiers, someone shouted fire, and 5 Americans were fatally wounded. Trial testimony never definitively answered the question of who shouted fire and who fired the fatal shots. In 1949, with the long-delayed publication of Notes of Thomas Hutchison, it was revealed that Montgomery, Hugh Montgomery, admitted to his lawyers that it was he who started the Boston Massacre. Hit in the chest and knocked to the ground by a club wielded by one of the rioters, Montgomery responded, he said, by shouting, "Damn you, fire!" And Montgomery fired first, then the other soldiers followed. Of the British soldiers tried in October 1770, the jury convicted only Montgomery and one other soldier, Matthew Kilroy. Both were found guilty of manslaughter. They pleaded the privilege of clergy, a procedure that reduced their punishment from imprisonment to branding on the right thumb. Now, John Adams, what was John Adams' role? Because the goal here is to create a false parallel between John Adams and the miscreant red lawyers at the Justice Department who have represented terrorists who seek to overthrow our nation. Now, first of all, I've just laid out in a thumbnail sketch the Boston Massacre, which has no relationship in form or substance to terrorists who are trying to mass murder our citizens in this nation and overthrow our country. I mean, it was almost an accident, the Boston Massacre. Now, what was John Adams' role? Well, the day after British soldiers mortally wounded 5 Americans on a cobbled square in Boston, 34-year-old Adams was visited in his office near the stairs of the town office by a Boston merchant, James Forrest. Excuse me. With tears streaming from his eyes, according to the recollection of Adams, Forrest asked Adams to defend the soldiers and their captain, Thomas Preston. Adams understood that taking the case would not only subject him to criticism, but might jeopardize his legal practice or even risk the safety of himself and his family. But Adams believed deeply that every person deserved a defense, and he took on the case without hesitation. For his efforts, he would receive the modest sum of 18 guineas. The Preston case came to trial in the Queen Street Courthouse in October. Adams and his young assistant, Josiah Quincy, defended Preston. Preston. Not all of them. Preston. Against a prosecution team comprised of Josiah's brother Samuel and Robert Payne. Adams succeeded in casting grave doubt as to whether Preston ever gave orders to shoot. And the Boston jury acquitted the captain. In fact, he had not given orders to shoot. More detailed records exist for the soldiers' trial, which commenced on December 3. Adams presented evidence that blame for the tragedy lay both with the mob that gathered that March night and with England's highly unpopular policy of quartering troops in a city. Adams told the jury, "Soldiers quartered in a populous town will always occasion two mobs where they prevent one." He argued that the soldier who first fired acted only as one might expect anyone to act in such a confused and potentially life-threatening condition. "Do you expect that he should act like a stoic philosopher lost in apathy?" Adams asked the jury. "Facts are stubborn things," he concluded. That's where the famous phrase comes from. "And whatever may be our inclinations or the dictums of our passions, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence." Harry Reid tried this line yesterday on Lamar Alexander, but being a bumbling buffoon, he blew it. So what did the jury do in the Boston Massacre case? It acquitted 6 of the 8 soldiers, while 2, Montgomery and Kilroy, were convicted of manslaughter and branded on their thumbs. Captain Preston was acquitted. Don't ever compare John Adams to the red, miscreant ACLU lawyer types who are representing terrorists, whose guilt is certain, and who seek to change our entire justice system, and who seek to weaken our national security by conferring rights on unlawful enemy combatants. Rights that have never been conferred on unlawful enemy combatants. And Preston, like all the other British soldiers, they were not unlawful enemy combatants. They were dressed in their bright red British coats, like most British soldiers. Everybody knew who they were. Everybody knew who they represented. And the Boston Massacre had nothing to do with overthrowing the United States. It was a tragedy. And John Adams didn't seek as his goal to confer special rights on people who were plotting to destroy American society through any means possible, including taking off their red British soldier military coats and trying to secrete within the population. Young man, I don't know who's teaching you. I don't know what you've read. I don't know what your point is, really. But I hope now you understand the Boston Massacre and John Adams, and that you really do yourself and the memory of John Adams a disservice by comparing the lawyer for John Walker Lynn to John Adams.